Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, text number 25. Atmanam evatma tayaji jatanam. Tenaiva jatam nikilam prapanchitam. Kyanena bhuyopi chatat praliyate. Rajam maher boga bhava bhava yata. Atmanam, yourself. Eva, indeed. Atmataya, as the Supreme Soul. Avigyanatam, for those who do not understand. Tena, by that. Eva, alone. Jatam, is generated. Nikilam, the entire. Prapanchitam, material existence. Jnanena, by knowledge. Bhuya api, once again. Cha, and. Tat, that material existence. Praliyate, disappears. Rajam, within a rope. Ahe, of a snake. Boga, of the body. Bhava abhavo, the apparent appearance and disappearance. Yata, just as. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A person who mistakes a rope for a snake becomes fearful, but he then gives up his fear upon realizing that the so-called snake does not exist. Similarly, for those who fail to recognize you as the Supreme Soul of all souls, the expanse of illusory material existence arises. The knowledge of you at once causes it to subside. So please repeat. A person who mistakes a rope for a snake becomes fearful. But he then gives up his fear upon realizing that the so-called snake does not exist. Similarly, for those who fail to recognize you as the Supreme Soul of all souls, the expanse of illusory material existence arises. The knowledge of you at once causes it to subside. Purport. Those submerged in illusion see material existence is infinite, just as one who is submerged in water sees only water all around him. For example, material scientists and philosophers submerged deep within the ocean of material illusion. Imagine that material nature extends infinitely in all directions. In fact, material creation is a finite ocean of ignorance in which foolish living entities such as material scientists are unceremoniously dunked by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To be trapped in a world in which all things are born and die is certainly a fearful experience. Anyone trapped in a dark place naturally becomes fearful. Once material life is always covered by the darkness of ignorance, every conditioned soul is fearful. The material nature is not ultimate reality, and thus analysis of matter can never provide answers to ultimate questions. This dark, snake-like existence called material life immediately disappears as soon as one opens his eyes to the bright light of Krishna consciousness. Translation again. Person who mistakes a rope for a snake becomes fearful, but he then gives up his fear upon realizing that the so-called snake does not exist. Similarly, for those who fail to recognize you as the supreme soul of all souls, the expense of illusory energy existence arises, but knowledge of you at once causes it to subside. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karna. That Krishna is the Ishvara of everything. He's the controller of everything. And if we understand that Krishna is all good, then we can understand how everything is actually good. Now, in one sense, we can also understand how everything is not good. In the sense that if we turn our face away from Krishna, that's not good. Because then we merge into an ocean of illusion where we imagine ourselves to be this body in a temporary material existence, and we become subjected to the threefold miseries. Now, to accept and understand Krishna, we have to understand and accept how his energies are working. Otherwise, we'll be caught up in this idea of friends and enemies, as Krishna says, and those who are friends and enemies, indifferent and impartial, etc., etc. But actually, no one is our friend. No one is our enemy. Everyone is an instrument for Krishna, either directly or indirectly. Directly, Krishna manifests himself through others, through devotional service, and indirectly through the modes of material nature. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Idam dute guyatamam pravaksham anasuyave jnana vijnana saitam yajgatva moksha se shuva. Because you are never envious of me, Arjuna, I'll explain to you this both this knowledge, theoretical and practical, applied, by which you'll become free from all the miseries of material existence. So in other words, it is quite easy to understand why one would be envious of Krishna. Because even in this material world, even one has a little bit more beauty than we do, then we become envious of them. Why does this person have more beauty than I do? Why do they have more wealth than I do? Why are they more intelligent than I am? Why are they stronger than I am? Why are they more renounced than I am? So we become envious of anyone who has better qualities than we do. That's called material consciousness. That is material consciousness. Is it enviousness of anyone who has more qualities than we do? Because we're not conscious that ultimately everyone is equal. Equally small. Qualitatively, we're all equally equal to Krishna because we're all eternal. We're all by nature full of bliss. And we all have, by nature, full consciousness of reality. We're our consciousness is uncovered by these material conceptions. But quantitatively, we're all very tiny, equally tiny. Now, someone may be less tiny than someone else, but compared to Krishna, we're all tiny. And at perfection, we exist in our own perfection. It's that in the material world, there's a constant competition for who's better than someone else. And we're involved in our false ego, somehow or another, trying to be a better controller and a better enjoyer than others. But this is due to our false ego, because neither we're the controllers of the material energy, nor we can actually enjoy the material energy in the real sense of enjoyment. There is some satisfaction from the material nature, because the material nature is an expansion of Krishna and has some of the qualities that Krishna has. But because it's temporary and limited, it can't give us the full satisfaction that we're looking for. And therefore, this competition in the material world to be the supreme enjoyer and the controller is a waste of time for the soul. Not a complete waste of time, because we do get a little enjoyment and a little sense of controlling, but actually it never completely satisfies us. On the other hand, if we understand our position, our constitutional position, as an instrument for Krishna, and don't see others as objects of competition, but objects of service on behalf of Krishna, as an instrument for Krishna, then we get out of material consciousness, which means basically we get out of the material existence. Because material existence, for us, exists only in it because we accept a certain mentality or a certain consciousness, and that certain consciousness covers our real consciousness, and therefore we get a material experience. That's material existence. There's nothing but material experience. But if we give up our material attachment to our material experience, our material conceptions, then we get spiritual experience, which is absolute, and which everyone is welcome to experience. There is no one in this universe who is not eligible to come to this absolute platform and experience Krishna consciousness, especially in the human form of life, by following the process and hearing properly, one can come to that perfection of life. And there, in that perfection, there is no material competition. There's only spiritual competition to see who can satisfy Krishna more by developing an attitude or a desire to serve Krishna humbly, submissively and humbly, and at the same time wanting to serve and satisfy everyone else. So there is a competition in the spiritual world amongst everyone who can be more loving and serving everyone, Krishna and everyone else too. So that's a very nice competition. That makes everything more blissful, more loving, and everyone's invited to engage in that competition. So either we're going to be engaged in the competition of seeing who's going to be the greatest from the material point of view, the greatest person in illusion, often, or who's going to be the greatest devotee, the humblest, the most loving, the most anxious to serve and appreciate everyone else. So that's also a competition. Therefore, now in the material existence, we're looking at the material existence as like a snake. Our existence is like a snake, and we're fearful. Vayam dvitiyani viveshitasya ishadabhatasya vipariyo smriti. As soon as one accepts material consciousness, that is, instead of thinking about how to serve Krishna under the guidance of his representatives, we start thinking about how to compete with others, even using Krishna as the means to do so, then at once we become fearful, because we're put into illusion. And we think this material world is a place of struggle, a place of competition, a place of fear. But when we accept it in relation to Krishna as an opportunity for service, then we can see actually there's nothing to be afraid of, there's nothing to be envious of, there's nothing to be in competition for, that is simply an opportunity to develop our spiritual desires. And therefore, it's a great positive opportunity. Even it says in the greatest difficulty, if one is actually conscious of Krishna or trying to become conscious of Krishna, then it's a great opportunity to learn how in the midst of difficulty to remain in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna reciprocates. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, in 434, therefore, mental speculation and dry arguments cannot help one progress in spiritual life. Nor by independent books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such knowledge should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Therefore, the path of spiritual life is really the opposite of the path of material life. Material life means that we're being learned how to become, win the struggle for material existence, to become a better and something than others. Even if to put more tattoos all over our body, we think we've won the competition. Somewhere or another, be the prophet, adoration, and distinction. So the opposite is become a menial servant. How many, if you put an advertisement in the newspaper, we're going to train you to become a menial servant, how many people will sign up for the course? Of course, if we tell you you're going to become a menial servant of a perfect person, still, how many people are going to sign up for the course? If they do, it's only because, anyhow, I don't think many people, first of all, will believe there's such a thing as a perfect person. And they won't understand without some explanation, some training, what a perfect person is. Just like one devotee was sitting giving a class, and someone walked into the class and looked at the devotee and said, "He told me this man is perfect, but I see he's wearing glasses, so how can he be perfect?" So he left the class. So it takes some training to understand what perfection is, because in the material world we have our conception. One has a material conception of perfection, which is very much different from a spiritual conception. For instance, in the material conception, if one is very proud and puffed up of his accomplishments, one wins gold medals in the Olympics and wears the gold medals around his neck, that's considered perfection. He's proud, but he has a good reason to be proud because he's better than everyone else. And in the spiritual world, one is humble because he thinks that, and his perfection is he's humble because he sees everyone else is better than him. He sees everyone else is more loving and dedicated servant of Krishna than he is. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. So, if we actually have the conception of what a perfect person is, like Srila Prabhupada, completely dedicated to the helping others come to the platform of reviving their relationship with Krishna, and perfectly empowered by Krishna to do that, then one should accept such a person in full surrender and serve the spirit. The only way of actually making advancement is to follow such a person's example and instructions, because otherwise, if someone is perfect, anything you do that's different from what he's saying and what his example is going to be less than perfect. So the spiritual master is satisfied not because he's being given money and presents, because he actually sees that his disciples or followers are actually making advancement towards their relationship with Krishna, of which he has full knowledge of. At least he's conscious of his relationship with Krishna. And how to achieve that? Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. So we should be inquisitive. At least, for instance, we say that Krishna is the Supreme Person, the source of everything. That he has all beauty, all knowledge, all strength, all wealth, all renunciation, etc., etc. So we should become inquisitive what it would be like to become conscious of such a person. And then we should follow the process called submission in order to make advancement. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. Unless we're willing to follow the process by actually doing real service, then even though we may be inquisitive, what is Krishna like, we'll never find out. Just being inquisitive about something is not enough to experience it. You have to follow the process. One should be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So it's not a question of just doing things mechanically so we get the result. One actually has to go through the trials that Krishna will present. The path of spiritual life is not an easy path that we just chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam and we reach the perfection of life. No, one has to be able to chant Hare Krishna in all circumstances. Not just when, as it says in English, fair weather friends. When everything is going nicely, then we're a Krishna conscious. And as soon as there's some difficulty, we start blaming Krishna. Why are you putting me in difficulty? What did I do? I'm an innocent victim. Something wrong with you. No, we have to maintain the same mood of devotion in all circumstances. So we have to practice that. And as we practice it, even to a little bit, when Krishna sees our sincerity, then he gives the intelligence to the spiritual master to bless us with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So inquiry is important. And following service is important, but it shouldn't be just blind following and absurd inquiries. We just don't follow blindly. And our inquiries should be, we should follow with intelligence, with knowledge. And at the same time, our inquiries should be about how to serve Krishna and his devotees in such ways to make spiritual advancement, such as by satisfying them. So we should not only hear submissively, but we should get a clear understanding of what Krishna actually wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. So a bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind to the disciple. And so when the disciple is always submissive, is ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So it's not that Krishna is pure representative, or even partial representative, doesn't want us to become Krishna conscious, but it's required. There's a process. For instance, coming to class, not only once a week, or once a month, or in the festivals, whatever. If one actually wants to make spiritual advancement sincerely, it has Shrinvatam, Swakata, Krishna, Punya, Shravanam, Kirtana. Then the more, or every day, we should say, every day, one needs some spiritual nourishment. Just like, generally speaking, people will not be healthy if they only eat once a week. You have to eat every day. Similarly, spiritually, health requires we practice every day. Otherwise, as soon as we stop practicing, then we're practicing material life again. But we have to practice so that material life decreases and spiritual life increases. Therefore, there's a reciprocal, when the student is always submissive, it is ready to render service. So we have to be submissive, and we have to be submissive to hear the actual philosophy, accept it, and then try to apply it and render service. Then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries become perfect. So then what we're trying to experience, what we're trying to find out about, then Krishna will supply that, didami buddhi yogam tam. Then Krishna will give us the experience, the realizations that we're actually hankering for, of love and bliss, knowledge eternally. So again, here it says that the material nature is just like a snake, but it actually does, it's only in our imagination. But you have to follow the process so the snake-like material existence is recognized as Krishna's mercy. And that everything that we're going through, good or bad, is arranged by Krishna to inspire us to fix our minds upon Him and take shelter of Him through the process of devotional service. Otherwise, if one doesn't utilize this human form of life and recognize the ups and downs as opportunities to take shelter of Krishna, then the human form of life is just wasted. Shrama evihi kevala. If one is not inquisitive about Krishna consciousness, is not submissive to the method, doesn't submissively hear about the method of becoming Krishna conscious and apply it within one's life, then one's life will always remain unachieved. One will always feel like one has not achieved anything of value, of real value, and one will always be unsatisfied. One's inquisitiveness of experiencing Krishna consciousness will not be completely fulfilled. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Srila Maharaj. Can you tell us more about what jivas do in the spiritual world between them? We know that they have a relationship with Krishna, but what about interactions between them?
We read the Krishna book. There's a lot of information in there about what they do. They make garlands together for Krishna. They dance together for Krishna. They cook and they serve each other, prasadam, the same things that we do here. They talk about Krishna with each other, their love for Krishna, and they share that, their realizations about Krishna. They talk and someone else hears, and they hear and someone else talks. They make prasadam for each other, and they distribute it to each other. And they inquire about different aspects of how to render better service, how to sing better for Krishna, how to dance better for Krishna. They learn from each other. They teach each other how to serve Krishna better.
Do they have relationships between themselves, friendship or paternal or something?
Yeah, of course they're friendly with each other. As far as parental, yeah, there's well, it's right there in the Krishna book. Krishna had so many, there were so many ladies in Vrindavan, and they all had children who were friends of Krishna, the coward boys, and they had gopis, girls, who were lovers of Krishna. So they had children. Here in this Bhomalila, they had children. They were friends with each other. Govardhan, Nanda Maharaj's brother Govardhan, and others in the family, they all were all concerned about Krishna, and they worked together to serve Krishna in friendship. Everything is there. This is just a reflection. How can something be here and not be there? How can there be a reflection of an apple tree with apples and, or whatever. And there can't be an apple. There must be an apple tree with everything that's on the reflected tree. So everything's there, but in truth, permanently, eternally.
I heard, I don't know if I maybe read it, maybe I remember it incorrectly, from one of the Shivana Swami's books about more deeply when he went to Damodara Ashtaka, Damodara Lima, that the parents of Krishna's friends, they are taking care of their children just because they are playing with Krishna. This is the main reason why they are taking care of them.
No, it's, they love their children. They're also expansions of Krishna. Why wouldn't they love Krishna? This is Krishna's expansions. And Krishna is in their hearts, so they're as powerful as Krishna in terms of love. Otherwise we think, you know, some like Prabhupada, Krishna only loves him because, you know, and, I mean, a pure devotee like Prabhupada, who brought Krishna to this world, is a representative of these personalities in the spiritual world. They're lovable. Why wouldn't their parents love them? Because they're lovable. They may love Krishna more, but also they're also almost as lovable as Krishna is. When they see their children, they remain they, because their children are different from Krishna, they're qualitatively equal to him in every respect. They love their children. They don't see their children as apart from Krishna. Like the leaves and branches of a tree and not apart from the tree. You can't say, I love the tree, but I don't love the leaves and branches.
So we first develop love for Krishna, and then because we love Krishna, then we love everything connected to Krishna, and then easily we will love everything else connected to Krishna. Is this the process?
Well, we can't love anyone unless we see it in relation to Krishna. Yeah, I mean, Krishna is always the center. Without the roots, there's no leaves and branches. So Krishna is the source of everything. He's unlimited. And others are lovable because Krishna is in their heart. That little spark is all, not just a little spark. It's the full fire in there. It's the spark and the full fire. So, obviously, they're all lovable. If Krishna is lovable, and you have the little spark, and you have the full fire, and Krishna is pleased when you serve the spark, you know, then Krishna is, then you want to please Krishna, you please everyone. Krishna is more pleased when you please his devotee than when you please him to try to please him directly. You can't really try to please them unless you love them. But they're lovable because Krishna loves them and they love Krishna, and we love to hear about the pastimes. We hear about Mother Yashoda with Krishna, and it's lovable, like in that Leela. We don't have a Leela just with Krishna and no one else. And that's Mother Yashoda. It was lovable. And Krishna, in their relation with Krishna, and it's enjoyable, it's lovable hearing about that, then we wouldn't have any leelas. We'd be impersonal.
So when we are trying to develop love towards something, and we are not separated from Krishna, that's material.
Yes. Well, Krishna encourages us to see everyone and everything in relation to him, because there's nothing apart from him. So that's reality. It's not that we can love with outside of reality. The reality is lovable because Krishna is everything. Everyone is everywhere. And everyone is an expansion of him. So everything is all, Krishna is lovable. And everyone else is lovable too. Anything else? Yes.
About accepting spiritual master and authority, but sometimes aspiring devotees, they are very beautiful in their tasks, like in school, in job, and so on. But like you ask them today, Ram Navami, can you come? And so on. No, because I have this other duty. Mm-hmm. How to somehow make it they understand that maybe this Krishna consciousness is more important?
Just participate more yourself in the process. Become more enthusiastic about it. And that enthusiasm will be conveyed to others the best you can.
Yeah.
In other words, if you really like something, then others will naturally become inquisitive. Why does this person like this so much? You have to awake the inquisitiveness. Why is this person enjoying it so much? Maybe I should enjoy it too. Otherwise, how many places would you like to go to where people are demanding that you go unless you're useless? That's the attitude. Would you like to go to a place where people, you must come, you must come, it's, or else you're finished? Now people, they naturally have a taste for things. They have taste for things that they enjoy or will help them enjoy. And they see someone else has a taste for is enjoying something, then actually they become inquisitive. Maybe I should try to enjoy that too. Otherwise, how do you sell a book? You take this book or else you're going to hell. No, it's enthusiasm. When you present something enthusiastic and intelligently, people become curious what's in it, and then they buy the book. Anything else? Kuala, Grantharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.